I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Seven counts for what?
Paying a hooker?
I don't understand. She's a porn star. Whatever.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth.
Forgot to film it. That's the problem.
Who would want to watch that? Would you want to watch that?
No, but if you film it, it's not illegal.
Right, right. I would watch it. I mean, out of curiosity to see that flabby old body bouncing up and down on the other flabby old body. Hi, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. Did we say that already?
I do believe so.
We did. Hey, thank you to all the new people who are visiting. Please stay with us. We're having a lot of fun. We do our show. We have a lot of fun talking about things and subjects. And you're here and you're new and you followed us last week. Stick with us. Like us, subscribe and all that jazz, right? Tell your friends. Say, hey, there's a bunch of Gen Xers who are, you know, doing a show every week on Zoom and they put it out on the internet. And every week now, I'm going to have to open the show with apologies, or as I call it, about last week.
Oh, that pisses me off. That pisses me right off.
And I'm angry because you pissed me off.
And that really pisses me off.
You really pissed me off, you know, because...
You know what really pisses me off?
We had some negative comments, folks. Negative comments, gang, on our YouTube and TikToks. We never said we hated Terrence Howard or that he wasn't a good actor or that we thought he was a jerk or an ass. We just don't think he's a scientist and we don't buy some of the stuff that he's selling. But it was fascinating to watch. If you spent the entire 3 hours like I did watching it, it was quite amazing.
It's one way to put it.
Yeah, that's one way to go about it.
Yeah, I don't know why you would. Why apologize, though?
Well, I'm not apologizing. I'm just stating.
Well, because you had said that you were opening the show with an apology.
Well, I meant to say about
you,
that.
You hate him.
I don't hate him. Why would I hate him? He was a better roadie than Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle is too mousy to be roadie. Roadie's
I'm sure he was talking that crazy shit on the set, and everybody was like, this guy's got to get out of here.
Yeah. I saw these one dudes on a podcast where the guy was talking about how he had a Lyft driver who said he was a helper on Empire, on the show Empire, and that they told him on day one, do not engage him. Because
really?
Yes. And they said, if you talk to him, he's going to start going off about string theory and crap, and it's going to blow like 7 hours of production time today. So do not engage him.
Wow. Well, obviously he's smart. I mean, he knows all this stuff. I don't know any of that stuff.
No, he's smart. Look, what do you want? He's handsome. He's a great actor. Blah, blah, blah. Does he have to be everything?
Yes. A guy like him has to be everything. It's hard out here for a guy who knows everything.
I also do think, though, when people are very good looking, that they get away with a lot of bullshit. Like,
sure they do.
That they're scientists when they're
not. Tom Brady got away with a lot of shit. Deflated
Thank
balls.
You. Thank you. It's always reserved for the attractive.
Like, if OJ had been ugly, he would have been convicted. But OJ was a handsome man, and he was always handsome. Right up
smooth.
To the very end. Yeah.
Smooth. Like the blade of a knife.
That's right. Like the blade of the knife somebody used to kill my lovely wife. And her friend, who I also liked very much. I had no problem with her. I really didn't. I had no problem. Look, I had to get over there. See, what had happened was Nicole had left her glasses. So I sent Ron over there with the glasses. I said, Ron, take these glasses. I showed up. Next thing I know, they're dead.
I mean, it happens. It happened to me last week.
Yeah, I heard about that. I mean, well, I saw it because I'm in heaven and I could see everything. Oh, people think I went to hell, but you don't go to heaven if you kill your wife and her friend. You go to hell for making Naked Gun 33 and a third. But I didn't make it. I was just in it. I'm just saying. Okay, nobody cares about OJ anymore.
Speaking of box office bombs, want to talk about the movies that happened over Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend, classically known as one of the biggest weekends of the year for films opening, right? And you go back to the 80s, you know, that's when this stuff really started happening. It was a big opening weekend. And Jeff and I would go off and see all of them, get one ticket, sneak into another one afterward. And then in the 90s, you know, it was the same thing. But this was the lowest grossing weekend since when? 1995?
Yeah, the year Casper came out.
Casper, which I didn't see because I was in my 20s when that came out. But it is the lowest. It was the lowest weekend ever. In so many years. And two movies were going neck and neck to win the weekend. And that would be Furiosa, which is a prequel to the last Mad Max movie, which was called what? I forget the name of it. Fury Road, which was a good movie.
And great movie.
Action-packed. It was awesome to view. Looked great acting. It was just really cool. And Garfield, who I don't know anything about it.
I'd be boycotting that shit for fucking Chris Pratt doing the voice.
Why wasn't it Bill Murray?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
He might have said no.
Yeah, Chris Pratt could be Odie. I can't picture him being Garfield.
Right. They're giving everything to Chris Pratt now.
I know they are. I know they are. But Jeff pointed out in our show notes that the people don't want to go to movies anymore. Explain that.
Movies that are in theaters now will be available to watch in your house in 2 weeks.
Right.
Like if you paid $30 for one ticket to go see The Fall Guy.
And why would you?
Wait 2 weeks for $10. You can rent it in the comfort of your own home and watch it.
Or you could come to my house and borrow all the DVDs I have of the Lee Majors Fall Guy. Just make sure.
How many seasons of Fall Guy were there?
There were 30 of them. It's still on the air, by the way. There's 37 seasons of the Fall Guy.
You're still making them.
Yeah, they're still making them. Lee Majors is in all of them. It's now the Bionic Fall Guy.
Heather Thomas is.
Yes.
Still in a bikini.
She is, unfortunately, but hey. Furiosa, though, looks really, really good, and it's getting great reviews. People are saying that it's not the film itself, but Jeff's point, I think, is the best one, is that you can see a movie shortly after it's put out. So why risk it? And you think about it, you four people go to a movie. Say it's you and you have two teenagers, right? And you and your wife and your two teenagers go. That's going to be $100 right there. Then you got the popcorn, the candy, the drinks. So you're looking at almost $200, right? In extreme case. On top of that, every month you're paying for cable. You're paying for cell phone. You're paying for internet. You're paying for, I don't know how many streaming services, but you got to have them all, right? If you want to see everything, you got to have them all. Which if you're getting the premium end and you have a lot of it could end up being, that could be $200 a month. So you're paying for all this entertainment and what are you really getting out of it? Right?
True.
So going to the movies is a tough choice. I'm very selective. I'll look almost every weekend. I look to see what's playing in case I want to go see a movie. And generally I go by myself. And the last two movies I saw were both franchises that I've always liked, which would be Godzilla. So the Godzilla movie I went and saw, the one, the Toho Studios.
Minus made. One.
Yeah, which was amazing. Beautiful movie. Just made a shitload of money. And then the Planet of the Apes movie, which even if it's a bad Planet of the Apes movie, which this one was not, I'm going to go see it. So
they need to lower the price of refreshments if they want to draw people back to the theaters. The popcorn's the only fucking reason to go to the theater anymore.
No shit. But they're not going to do that because that's how they make their money.
I know. That's the only way they make their money. So they can't lower the prices, but
I mean,
everybody's fed up
that.
Of paying that much.
We've been bitching about that since the 80s. You go in there, you pay all that. Then you got to watch all the commercials. There were so many commercials when I went to see Planet of the Apes. Almost a half hour of trailers and commercials. I don't need that. That's another thing you know to deal with. Plus, people aren't talking in your house. But then you run into the risk of having to look at your cell phone the whole time. Another problem with these Mad Max movies is there's no Mad Max in them.
Yeah.
I would like to see Mel Gibson. If they're going to make another one, have Mel Gibson in it. Have him be Mad Max. Have him be old.
Well, Tom Hardy was Mad Max, wasn't he?
No.
He was just a rando? I thought he was Mad Max.
Well, the theories about who he was, maybe the little kid from Beyond Thunderdome, there were theories as to who he was, but he wasn't Max.
No.
And you can't have a prequel with a nuclear annihilation because in the first movie, there wasn't yet a nuclear holocaust that had happened. It was just they lived in a place where resources were scarce. So what were we going to say, Dustin?
And because it was a prequel, they had to widen the story to tell the story. You have to bring in more characters, and Fury Road was just a giant road race. So, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Don't fall for we're tired of the girl boss. Oh, hater meme. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's not a Marvel movie. It's not Marvel's. Brie Larson isn't in this movie. No one's coming out and telling you you're a hater if you don't go see it. Maybe they are. I don't know. But all that shit's bullshit anyway. However, I'm just going to wait and I'll watch it when it comes out on TV.
Yeah, I bet you'll be able to watch it by Juneteenth.
So do you guys have a favorite? We don't need to rank them all, but do you have a favorite Mad Max movie?
Thunderdome?
Yeah, same.
Same. Dustin?
Actually, I'm going to go for Fury Road.
Well, actually, I'm going to go for Mad Max, which is the second one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one I like the best. I also like the first one a lot. I do like the first three. Fury Road is the best movie. I mean, obviously, it's the best film with the best effects and all that. But I'm really nostalgic for those movies. I enjoyed those, the original ones with Mel. I'm not like I would put out of the three with Mel Gibson in them. I would put Beyond Thunderdome at the bottom.
No, no, no,
no, no. Look at his face.
First one, you'd put it below the first one because the first one is so
cheesy,
cheap.
Cost about $200 to produce.
Right.
That's what I like about it. Beyond Thunderdome is great. But I didn't like the guy in the airplane. Always ruined it for me. You know, the skinny guy.
Yeah. The guy that was in the Matrix.
Yeah, the not Bob Geldof.
Basically the dad of the little boomerang chucker.
Yes.
Also, I hate Tina Turner. No, I'm kidding.
I'll kill you.
I know.
Kill you.
Did everybody watch South Park, The End of Obesity? I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yes, it was hilarious and also enraging.
Mm-hmm. Why was it enraging?
That's part of the American healthcare system.
You don't understand how many times a day on this day, this very day that we record this show, I no less than 12 times today took $25 payments from patients over the phone to do a prior authorization for their Ozempic or their Mounjaro. Or their, what's the other one?
Lizzo?
Lizzo.
Not Lizzo. Lizzo's free. Lizzo's for poor people.
No, it's $25 a month.
Oh, that's right. But it's still for poor people.
Yes. It was a beautiful, there were so many layers in this special, South Park, The End of Obesity. And the jokes were right there. They were served up in an old school South Park way. I felt like it was something from 15 years ago.
Oh, dude, the opening. They did the Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
2004 opening. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so great.
The way the show was paced and the way the jokes were delivered
and all the kids working together.
Yeah, the kids working together and Randy being Randy and his wife being his wife, Sheila, right?
Sharon.
All the characters were true to who they used to be. And they still are for the most part. But, you know, Cartman was actually crying and he had a hidden agenda for why he wanted to lose weight, which is so he can make fun of everybody. I noticed he didn't say specifically to Kyle that his mom, that he was Jewish. He didn't point out he just said your religion is stupid. But he didn't say you're a dumb Jew like he used to. Which is probably smart. You can't do that anymore. But the way the whole episode just had so many great things at it, taking down the U.S. healthcare, like all these gigantic, luxurious buildings that these healthcare companies and insurance companies have. But when you get to the part where, you know, you find a person who can actually help you, they're using a typewriter and a rotary phone and it's an old guy and he can't do anything.
That's me.
Your system. That's Steph, although she's not an old guy. You should probably ask.
No, it is me. Yeah, I'm the old guy with the typewriter.
I can't help you. I can't help you.
It was the only thing that I didn't agree with was that they said that the doctors were so complicit in this, and they're truly not.
So I'm going to open my own compounding pharmacy.
That was smart. It was great, too. Compounding. The people are doing that on TikTok.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're making their own Ozempic. All the kids made Ozempic. And then the Lizzo, where it's, you know, poor people just have to do body acceptance. And that's the way you do things. And everybody was sharing this. I didn't watch it right away, but everybody was sharing Lizzo's reaction. Or Lizzo's pissed or whatever. Then you watch the video and Lizzo was like happy about it. She don't care.
I felt like the message was pretty good for her. You know, she's basically saying she doesn't give a rat's ass.
When the shit explodes out of your ears.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
If you take Lizzo.
Yeah.
Okay. Hands down, though, the part that I rewound and watched three times was when Randy went to their house and they shot him up with the juice and started playing Cry Little Sister from The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That was so good.
Randy.
Anybody else think that skinny version of Cartman looked like Shane Gillis?
I didn't notice that.
And sounded like him, too.
I didn't think about that either.
Oh, it sounded like him?
It sounded like him, yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. I'm going to watch it again and look for that. Has anybody ever eaten cereal on the toilet?
No.
Cereal bomb.
Nobody? Am I the only person who's had cereal while taking a dump in the morning?
Please tell me you're lying.
Out of a KFC bucket?
No, not out of a KFC bucket. I had a bowl of Captain Crunch. And
the bathroom's not for eating, Tim.
I can't with you, Tim. No.
Tell me you at least sat the right way so you turned around and set the bowl on top.
No. I had it in my hand.
Oh, okay.
And then I put it on the sink. When it was time to finish, I put it on the sink.
What did you...
You might as well just eat the shit, Tim.
No. Well, Captain Crunch isn't very good for you, but it's better for you than eating feces.
Jeff, you remember that episode of The League when they had the bathroom hutch, the cubby?
Yeah.
That's me. I mean, I have to... I don't take a glass of water. Nothing goes in
the bathroom. You don't take coffee in there with you in the morning?
No, fuck no. Ew.
I do.
No.
I used to smoke and have coffee. I can't smoke in my house, but I used to smoke and drink coffee in the morning.
Nothing ingestible belongs in the toilet. Nothing that you eat or drink goes in there.
That's bad enough. You got to keep your fucking toothbrush in there.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I try to keep that in a glass case.
It's far away. What do you think? It just floats in the air?
Yes, it does.
No, you guys are nuts.
You can just eat your meatloaf and mashed potatoes on the can, Dustin.
I would do that.
Yeah.
So gross, dude.
Like Eric Cartman did when he made his cereal bomb. All right, what was in that cereal bomb? It was KFC, cereal, and milk.
Milk. He said, I like to drink the chicken milk out of the bottom of it when it's done.
I made my own. It started with a base of... I'm not a big fan of KFC. I prefer the chicken McNuggets. So I had the chicken McNuggets. There was popcorn, gravy, milk. Chocolate chip ice cream and Doritos and some other things. But I don't think anybody could eat that. That's disgusting. That's like those videos of those people who can't move. And then they take have you ever seen these on YouTube? Like
mukbang videos?
Well, they can't move. And then they pour like all this different fast food into a blender and then they drink it.
Ooh.
God. Well, listen, I haven't eaten on the toilet in a very long time.
Like that should have been one of those things you just took to the grave.
No, I can't. And I'm an open book.
None of us needed to know
it. I'm an open toilet.
It was this morning you realized that.
Yeah. It was not this morning.
It was this morning.
Tires. Tires was on Netflix. And Tires was amazing. It's 6 episodes. They're easy to watch. And they're very, very funny. And it stars Shane Gillis and some of his friends. People I've never seen before. I've never seen Steve Gerben. Maybe you guys have, so educate me. Chris O'Connor, I've never seen. Or Kyla Fox. But they were all really, really good. Stavros, I've seen. I thought Stavros' character, he was actually made to play that character.
Yeah. And he's actually a good actor, too.
Yeah. Oh, shit. What a good actor. I didn't know that about him. I prejudged him when he used to do that podcast, Come Town, because I didn't like the name. And I don't do that anymore. I will watch anything named after Come. Andrew Schultz was great as the car guy. What's the story behind this? It started out as something he did on YouTube a long time ago, right?
He had his own little sketch channel that he started, and it, you know, blew up. I mean, I don't think you can find any of the sketches on there that are under a million views.
Mm-hmm. They've all been taken down, by the way, because of Netflix.
Yeah.
Because it's on Netflix, the show. Maybe they'll put them on Netflix, but just lots of laughs every episode. And Shane is great in it. Does he remind anyone else of Louis C.K. when Louis C.K. was younger? His voice?
Yeah, maybe a little.
He looks.
Yeah. He reminds me of about four or five people I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is he from Valley Forge, PA?
He's from Mechanicsburg.
Mechanicsburg?
Yep.
Nuh-uh.
Yep. I like tires, though. I thought it was Kevin Smith-ish, like early Kevin Smith, like Clerks-ish.
Yeah.
And Letterkenny, I thought.
Yeah. I thought a little bit of Trailer Park Boys thrown in there. What was your favorite bit?
There's a bikini car wash.
Yeah, bikini car wash. My favorite part was, our favorite line was when he opened up the storage container and he asked him to go in. Yeah. And they were like,
that was it. Yeah.
We're not going to do that. We'll end up on Epstein's Island. And he was like, if you ended up on Epstein's Island, they would be very disappointed.
And the fact that, what's his name, hooked up with one of the strippers and then, or one of the bikini models. And then for the next day, everybody knew what had happened.
Yeah.
Via text. More Netflix news, reboots and resets and sequels galore. Beverly Hills Cop returns. It's called Beverly Hills Cop Axel F, stars Eddie Murphy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Kevin Bacon is in it, returning from the original trilogy or the first two movies. Judge Reinhold is back as Billy Rosewood. Paul Reiser returns as Jeffrey. He was his partner, I guess, or one of the other cops in Detroit. Bronson Pinchot is back as Serge. John Ashton, for some reason, I thought John Ashton had passed away, and I'm glad that he didn't, but he's back as Taggart, or a.k.a. Gerald Ford. And then you go through the cast, and I don't know any of these people. So I'm not going to say their names because I don't know any of them. But that's your main cast right there. The trailer looked good. Anybody else going to see this when it comes out and watch it?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
That'll be a movie that we'll all watch and we'll talk about it, I'm sure. I liked Coming to America, the sequel to that, too.
So yeah, I
thought it was funny that they finally ran out of names and they just went with the song title for the name. I was like,
kind of
ballsy.
They better have Harold Faltermeyer doing music. Yeah.
Well, they had to do something because Beverly Hills Cop 3 was just a piece of garbage.
Was that the Disneyland one?
No, that's Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Wrong. Wrong.
And never forget Metro. You can never forget.
Oh, Metro.
Yes. And another movie that we don't have very many details on. Come On, Get Happy again. Happy Gilmore 2 is happening at Netflix. And why does it make sense after Adam's new reveal?
It's due to his enduring popularity and success on the streaming platform.
Yeah.
That's why it makes sense for it to be on there.
They got to get him to fight Drew Carey in this one.
Yeah, you think that'll, great. Oh yeah, they have to do that. That'd be a good callback.
And well, you know what's going to happen next. They'll do a sequel to Billy Madison, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be
Shooter McGavin's still alive, so they can have him in it.
Yeah. He's in Hacks.
Yeah. He's a good actor. He's great in Hacks, by the way.
Yeah, we lost a former podcast guest, Lee Gambin, passed away.
Yep.
Yeah, it sucks.
He was an interesting cat to speak with. He was in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we talked to
him. He wrote those books, a very special episode. There was two volumes. I only got the first one. I never got the second one.
Yeah, they work. The first one's good.
Yeah.
We had a great time talking to him about all those very special episodes.
Yeah, he's into all that same shit we are with the very special episodes. Grease 2, shit like that.
If you haven't seen it, you can search season 5, episode 45. But he was a fantastic guest. He's one of the, I guess, maybe the first or second year we were doing the pandemics, right?
Yeah, I think he was our first big long distance interview.
Yes. We have interviewed a lot of people from Oceania. The guy from that show.
Mr. In Between.
Yeah. Scott Ryan.
Yeah, Scott Ryan. Still our top most viewed episode of all time. A guy from New Zealand. What was his name, Jeff?
Maka Pohatu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maka Pohatu.
I hope he gets more work. That was a funny show he was on. And rest in peace to Bill Walton. He was only 71 years old. Basketball player. He played in the Olympics. He was a pro basketball player. I believe a Celtic.
That documentary on ESPN about him, that two-parter or whatever, was fantastic.
Yes. And, you know, he's a great big Grateful Dead fan for years and years and years. There's a great story that he tells. It's probably in this documentary, if I can recall correctly, where they were coming to Boston and he wanted to take a bunch of Celtics to go see the Grateful Dead. So they all met up at Larry Bird's house and took limos over. And he contacted the Dead or their stage manager or whatever and said, hey, you know, I want to bring the Celtics, but I don't want people to see them. And so he had the stage people built a special area where the Celtics could do drugs, I guess. I don't know.
How cool.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
He discovered and introduced the Dead to Dick from Dick's Picks.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that did all those Dick's Picks volumes, right. Grateful Dead material. He met him at a show in the parking lot.
Wow. Our buddy met him, met Bill Walton. Stu, our friend Stu, took his son out to, was it San Francisco to see the Dead, right? Dead and Company show. And he had the VIP thing and Bill Walton was out there. So he got to meet him and talk to him, which I always thought was cool.
Wasn't he in Little Nicky? The one that had his hair went up on fire for the basketball court?
He may have been. Little Nicky, I saw once.
I haven't seen it in forever.
Not one of those Adam Sandler movies I felt deserved a second watch.
His voice is so annoying. The movie's hilarious, and I love Rodney and everything that I learned about. Right. But the voice is terrible. I can't. I couldn't sit through it. Yeah.
Anyway, rest in peace, Bill Walton and Lee Gambin.
News, trailers, and trends with Steph.
I think Diddy did more than any of us ever really imagined that he could do, except for 50 Cent. Because 50 Cent has been clowning him for years, trolling him for years. I put in a couple of those Instagrams. I mean, there was a time when daily 50 would post something about him. He's kind of backed off of it as of late, but he won his bidding war. Netflix, of course, they got all the money. So he's going to be doing his docuseries. And I am really looking forward to it because I really do think he's going to get a lot of the dirt. I've heard that I saw Mace on Cameron's show last week or something. And Cameron was telling, you know, because after Cameron was on CNN, that made the big rounds.
Right.
How he was acting like, who even booked me for the show? That whole thing. They were talking about that on his show. And Mace was basically saying everything that he has to say about Diddy is going to be in this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants to know what Mace has to say because Mace left the music business. That's how bad it was stealing Diddy. He became a preacher.
Diddy apologized.
It was so bad.
Diddy apologized. You know, Diddy saw that video and he immediately went to Instagram and apologized. And he said, you know, he had to reflect on it and he ended up going to therapy. Mm. And I think that we owe Diddy a little bit of patience to see if that really sticks. I think that Diddy is a kind of guy who got caught up with the wrong people. And he did some things that he regrets. And we should allow him the time to find himself and reflect on the damage that he's caused. I think that would be the best thing for Diddy. But I could be wrong. That's just what I think.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, and I think you're pandering, but that's okay.
I think I'm full of shit. I don't mean to believe any of that at all.
I also think that if they could get Fonzworth Bentley, the guy that used to walk around with him in that umbrella, if they could get him to open his vault of secrets, because God knows shit went down
underneath
the umbrella.
Removed.
Something like that. In America's Best, they are removing the Sean John frames.
I think that's... Is that not punishment enough? Is that not punishment enough for Sean Puff Diddy Combs? Is that not enough? I mean, one of his best friends died in the 90s.
Yeah. A lot of people think that he had killed, but that's okay. It's neither here nor there. Well, the tickets, Live Nation is finally, they're finally having a coming to Jesus meeting with the feds.
Yeah, because the Democrats want you to vote for them because they think that because of the Taylor Swift thing, right? That we're going to do something about it.
Yes, because of that whole debacle where people were online when all these queues just trying to get her tickets and all this other crap where they had purchased them, but then they weren't coming through. And right. So what it is like Live Nation, what? They're buying their own tickets?
Well, I think they all do that. I don't know the relationship between, does Live Nation own Ticketmaster? I'm not sure how that all works.
Yeah, it's a subsidiary. Yeah,
they own each other or whatever.
And what these companies do is they buy their own tickets and then resell them, which should be illegal. And the government could say, no, you can't do that. But the government will not do that. So they want to force them to lower ticket prices. You can't force things to look. So all this, the government is just paying lip service. Nothing's going to happen or change. If you want to go see a show and you like an up-and-coming artist or an artist that doesn't deal with these people, go see them and support them. There are other people, other concert promoters who don't kind of do that shit to their tickets. Ticketmaster, Live Nation, they should
AT&T those motherfuckers.
They're not going to do that, though.
They should.
I know they should. There should be none of that. None of that should be allowed, but it exists in everything. Everything you touch now has that stuff involved with it.
Yeah, all their whatever fees. It's yes. The fees, man.
Yeah.
Like you'll think that you think you're $45, that's not bad for that ticket. And then when you're all done with the stupid fees and crap, it's like $70.
Yeah. I don't know, but then again, you have the Rolling Stones charging $300 to see them. Why would you pay that to go see them?
Their fans will, though.
I know they will.
Because it's like, you never know when it's the last time. Yeah, they think
this tour might be the last one.
All right, Taylor Swift, paying more than that to see her. And definitely not worth
it. Well, that's worth it.
And not even
do
if
you know how many costume changes she does, Tim? I mean, come on.
You know her carbon footprint? Do you know how she has the hugest carbon footprint in the world? And she gets away with it because she pays those stupid taxes, those carbon offsets. I pay carbon offsets. That's like paying the Pope so you can get a divorce in 1512.
Well, don't go get your fries down under because they are drying their mops over the fries in Australia, which is what happened last week.
How's that gonna, how are you going to dry the mops, Steph?
Well, it has a heating lamp, right? Uh-huh.
Yes.
So this chick in Australia, she just got done mopping the floor and this lady and her son walked up to get their order and they saw her. She was holding the mop, wet part of it underneath the heating lamp of the French fries, mm-hmm. trying to dry it off.
That's right.
Over the French fries.
How are you supposed to dry your mop?
In the microwave.
Yeah, well, the microwave would be okay, or the grill, but you got to take it off before it sears.
I always used a mop wringer. I mean, we just wring it out.
Well, that doesn't dry it off. That just gets the excess water out.
I've never known that it needed to be dried.
It doesn't. It just needs to be warm. You know,
I guess so.
When I worked at McDonald's in 1987 and 1988, we would take the towels that you clean the counter off with. And another employee showed me this trick. He goes, no, just put them in the pickle bucket. Huh? So a dirty rag smushed into the pickle bucket, sucking up the pickle juice and using that to wipe the counters off with.
Hmm.
And I did that a lot. And, you know, there'd be like old burger grease on it. I did a lot of weird things at McDonald's. I think I've talked about them on here before, but that one always grossed me out. But, you know, your burger gets dropped on the floor. Manager's not looking. You just put it on the grill, burn off the germs, put it right on the burger. And if I was doing that in 1988 and 1987, just imagine what people are doing now.
Well, the mom, she wrote a letter to McDonald's. She was very upset about it. And so they have sent the mop dryer through retraining, I guess, you don't. I guess not. So you don't put the mop on the griddle or anything
Now you have to take your cell phone in if you want extra mop fries.
Yeah.
I want mop fries.
They sent Grimace there to rough them up. All right. We've been talking about the podcast universe for quite some time. Before I tell you what I watched or listened to, or we talk about things we all watched, I have to say to Jeff that I was wrong. I watched this week's episode of Dr. Phil Live, and I laughed my ass off the entire time. It was very, very funny. My favorite guest was Harlan Williams, and that's why I watched it. And boy, it's really a good show. So you guys watched that, the whole thing?
And how long was it?
Mm-mm.
Long, like an hour and a half. Not as long as Kill Tony, but long. But Kill Tony was also good this week. You had Eric Griffin, who I've met before and I think is a funny comedian. He was in that show that we all liked about the Comedy Store. What was that called?
Dying Up Here.
Yeah, that was a good show. And he was good in that. And Jim Florentine was on it. So he's always good. Who doesn't like Jim Florentine?
He always looks so happy to be wherever he is.
Yes. Yes, he sure does. Casey Rocket kicked it off. He's a regular. He was quite funny.
That guy is on cocaine.
Yes.
Something.
He's on something. But I kick myself in the balls every day now that I'm watching these shows and enjoying them. Because before I got into watching any of these shows, I was watching the Takedown and the Hate shows. And I was in my brain, I'm thinking, oh, these guys got to suck. Blah, 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 blah. And they're not. They're great. They're fun. I mean, if you just want to laugh. Drew Nickens was my favorite comic. Do you guys like, did you know who, did you see him? The big, tall, goofy guy who got hurt when he was in the Air Force.
In the Navy.
Yeah, in the Navy. And usually, like, Tony would press something like that, but I think he felt bad for him and backed off. And then they just let him do his thing. I think he had a good time. They got him a kiss. And then Red Band, of course, invited the chick to come to the secret show.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they had him. I mean, my God, what, did he come back up there like 5 times?
Yes. I'm glad that we all watched the show, and I'm glad that you're not mocking me for being a Johnny Company. Two Bears, One Cave this week, Tony Hinchcliffe. That's why I watched it. Again, though, they're talking about the Tom Brady roast. I think it's time to move past that.
I think they probably recorded this like around the time of the roast.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Because they spoke to Jimmy Carr right after it.
Yeah.
And they're known to do batches. They'll do 5 or 6 and then not do anything for a month.
They're always on tour. They're
Yeah, Bert's going on that Fully Loaded tour.
But there was a point in that where Hinchcliffe just started getting brutal with Bert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see, there was one part where Bert literally was going to ask him if you had switched Schultz with her.
With Nikki Glaser. With
Nikki Glaser, would he have had the same? And then as he's saying it, he backs out of it.
And oh, yeah.
Like, oh, she was so great. He just immediately starts just talking up Nikki and then back and trying to like backpedal out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Overall, pretty good episode. Tim Dillon. I don't know if any of you guys watch Tim Dillon. He's always great when he, especially when he's by himself. Very rarely will I watch him if he has a guest. But
yeah, me either.
But his Kevin Spacey rant and his rant on the rich people.
You're going to have to, you're going to eat their soup. There will be soup by these people who have raped you. Mm-hmm. You're going to buy it because it's a good product.
Yep. And that's pretty much a lot of that. Harlan Highway, Jeff Richards, he was on Radio Labyrinth once, season 7, episode 5. Mad TV, SNL. He has his own podcast where they use AI. But it's the typical Harlan Williams insanity that I love, the chaos. And for some reason, Jeff Richards just does Tom Petty the whole time. Did you watch that?
No, that's not funny.
I won't spoil it for you then. It's very, very funny. And then I found a show. I occasionally will watch, it'll come into my algorithm and I'll watch a podcast about TV shows and stuff. And there's one called Johnny Two Cellos, talking about the King of the Hill reboot, which I didn't even know was greenlit. Or maybe
we're talking about it before.
On Hulu in 2025. Pamela Adlon kind of said that Bobby is an adult now and a fusion chef in Dallas or something like that. And so they're like 8 years ahead, I think, maybe. So that'll put Hank and Peggy in their 50s.
Yeah, it said Bobby was supposed to be 21 or 22.
Yeah, Bobby will be 21. Yeah, so that's about 8 to 10 years. Just some things that they're going to have to handle on the show. What are they going to do about Dale? Johnny Hardwick recorded a couple episodes before he died. So they either going to have another person voice it, which would be tacky, or they have Dale die, or they Dale have, who knows what they're going to do in these situations on a show like that with the family's permission. I think it would be cool to use AI. Don't kill me, but
yeah,
I agree.
Be a good, good tool. Yeah.
Yeah. Give them money.
Yep.
Luann is going to be also tough because Brittany Murphy died a long time ago and lucky Tom Petty. So one of the theories that this Johnny Two Cellos has is that, you know, remember Lucky and Luann had a kid and it'll end up being that kid is living with Peggy and Hank.
Merci. Good idea. Keep
that young element. The most important thing for me is, and I hate that this won't happen, but Toby Huss probably will not be voicing Khan.
As long as Steven Root comes back, I'm down.
I'm down too, but why can't Toby Huss voice Khan? Because we live in 2024.
Because of that dude.
That dumb Apu guy.
Hari
Kondabalu.
Yeah.
Only he had a problem with it.
Hi, it's Bernie Sanders for the Pod Burn and all that. Spring is here, and we're excited for warmer weather. Stop in to Atlanta Pizza and Euro for one of their 16 ice-cold draft beers and ciders on tap. They do not have Bernie malt liquor yet, but we're working on it. Try one of the many local craft and domestic beers available in cans and bottles. I hope they recycle them because that's very important. Their featured selection this spring is Springwater's Their featured selection is this spring is Sweetwater Brewing's Heffagummy Fruit Punch IPA. There's a lot to unpack there. There's a pot reference. It's IPA. It's got fruit punch, which is what you drink when you're high. You know, the guy, the Hawaiian punch guy with the hat. Delicious. It's easy drinking, sweet tasting IPA with low bitterness and delicious fruit flavors. APG is a longtime favorite of Konya's and Covington and the East Metro area of Atlanta, Georgia. They're made to order pizzas, gyros, or gyros, however you say it, pasta specialties, and Greek salads are absolutely the best around. They wish to sincerely thank everybody for their business and support, both now and into the future. They have a food truck. Their events are going on regularly, but if you're interested in booking one, just contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228. Open for dine-in or takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. I don't know about the glory hole. You guys said earlier it was open again. I doubt it. Celebrity voice impersonating.
Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
And we're back.
And we are back. Time for some YouTube comments. Fuxi says, seeing Tim figure out that my comment was based on another comment was like watching an origami flower unfold. That was last week's episode. Citizen Jew says, a gem as always, so thank you. User IN7KT1FT3G says, you guys rock. We love you, Steph. We love you. Keep up the rad work.
Love you, man.
Also, that user said, one times one equals one because one time is one, Terrence. we were talking last week about the departed Dabney Coleman. So Fuxi said, side note about War Games. I had never seen it, so my friends and I rented it. I'm in my early 20s, and we were full of the devil's cabbage, which is grass, as was the custom of the day. So I'm watching the movie, and it's okay, but then suddenly I see a pterodactyl on the screen, and I thought someone had taped over the movie from Blockbuster. Yeah, there's that robot pterodactyl. Professor Falcon. Greetings, Professor Falcon.
Did it have an onion tied to his belt?
Yes.
That was the custom of the day.
Patopo 8704 said, the weird thing about that speech by the kicker is Harrison Butker is the whole thing was political. It sounds like he has unfulfilled need to be on a podcast, but he showed up at a graduation instead. That being said, who gives a shit once some dude said what some dude said at a commencement speech? I can agree with all of that.
Yeah, every bit of it.
Yep.
Yep.
Moose Knuckle said, great name. The Terrence Howard interview made me react like the Cat Williams Joe Rogan episode did. Is this guy a secret genius or just a really confident dipshit who is just excellent at what they're known for? It's hard to tell these days. That is very, very true. But let me tell you something. I don't believe in any of that. I know that one times one is one, because if you have one of something and then you have another one of something, you can't make two out of it. Bitch. I'm not going to read the next one because that's very sexist. D2359 says, love.
The one you didn't read was just in I'm rewatching Boardwalk Empire and they told that joke.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he put it in there. But I'm still not going to read it. Diva Dason says, the problem is he mixes about 10-20% facts that are really facts and the average person doesn't know, along with this 80% garbage. So he has studied some things, which is why he has some people fooled, but mostly it's just unintelligible nonsense talking about Terrence Howard. Jacob McLeod, 5885, says he's extremely woke. He's so smart. He passed so many levels to the point that most people are looked at being dumb and crazy when people can't comprehend what you're saying because you're so far past them. Absolutely, I agree with whatever you just said. And please leave us YouTube comments. If you're new to the page, like and subscribe and leave a comment. And I'll read them in a voice. Maybe I'll do William Devane next week. You ever watch 24? Come on, Jack. I'm William Devane. Don't you forget it.
His views.
Or.
And snooze.
Yeah, last week was Tires, which we talked about already.
Yes.
The 1% Club, which I started to watch, and then it said you could play along if you download the app.
Mm-hmm.
So I downloaded the app, and then I forgot to go back and watch it, so I haven't watched that yet. And the Beach Boys documentary, which I started, is very good.
I haven't watched the other two shows, but I plan on watching the Beach Boys documentary. Did you guys watch the other stuff?
I saw a few minutes of the 1% Club, and I think it's getting like a 1.5 stars right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Too bad.
It's not good.
No. They just wanted the, what is it? There's a British one that was huge, and so that's why they brought it over here. And it's just not as big as they hoped.
I watched the Jay Farrell game show. Did anybody see that?
No.
The game show with balls.
The what?
It's called the game show with balls. And it's pretty good because the people, there's like a thing with like six giant balls on it, and there's six answers, and one of them's wrong. And the person that's standing in the wrong answer is smashed by the ball and knocked into a pool. It's pretty funny.
Oh, what's that on?
I think it's on ABC. It might be Fox.
So Hulu? Hulu.
Yeah, okay. Pick an app.
It's called the Game Show with Balls. Hosted by Jay Farrow. It's pretty funny.
I love him.
All right, so this week, Eric on Netflix on 5:30. This is not the Eric Von Hessler docudrama.
Oh, no.
No, this is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a popular TV kid show puppeteer.
Right.
He was looking for his missing son in like the 70s gritty, or 80s gritty New York. That's a views for me. I'll at least watch the first one, too. What happens? Jim Henson, Idea Man, comes on Disney Plus on the 31st.
That's a view.
Ron Howard directed this documentary about the beloved Muppeteer, Jim Henson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll view that.
That's a views for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then season 3 of The Outlaws comes back, also on 531.
That is a good show.
Is it going to be the final season of it, though, according to Stephen Merchant?
It's worth watching. Are you guys still watching the whole show?
I watched all of it, but I was bored the entire time.
Yeah,
couldn't get out of the first 15 minutes, Jeff.
Yeah,
it's boring.
Well, good thing he has that Comcast endorsement. Time for some staff picks. Thank you, Jeff. My staff pick is pretty simple this week. It just dropped today on Wednesday. Duncan Trussell returns to the Joe Rogan Experience. That's always a lot of fun to watch, and he's wearing a goofy ass outfit. So,
yeah, they always wear goofy outfits together when he's on.
Yeah, well, this was the goofiest I've ever seen.
They were in full space suits a couple of years ago. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, but Duncan Trussell's an interesting cat.
Yeah, he's a crazy dude.
Yeah, he's fun.
Mm-hmm. Mine is Sal Vulcano on this past weekend with Theo Vaughn. It's a good episode. It's like 2 hours long, but Sal finally admits that he's married and has a daughter. First time ever.
He finally brought that up?
Yep.
What's that like, having a kid?
Yep.
I never... You know, I always wanted a kid. I'm not able to do Theo Vaughn. You know, I guess I always wanted to have... Fuck it. I'm not doing it.
And Sal's stand-up special comes out on YouTube on the 31st.
Nice. Cool.
From 800-pound gorillas putting it up on YouTube.
Nice. Oh, okay. So mine is on MGM Plus. I don't know why, but we ended up with this channel again. They have a show on there. There's three seasons, which I've just come upon. It's called NFL Icons.
Mm-hmm.
And each episode is a different NFL icon, and they do it really well. It's so good. The Jerome Bettis one hit me like, it was awesome. But yeah, I mean, like the season one, it's Jerry Rice, Mark Salen, Joe Namath, season two is like Tony Dungy, Jimmy Johnson, all those guys. And but there's three seasons, so check it out. It's on MGM Plus. It's called NFL Icons, and it's really good.
Oh, let's see. Mine is Fly on the Wall this week. It's got Neil Brennan on, and he's good. I'll listen to him. He's telling stories about with them about what went his time around Lauren on SNL. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I love Blocks.
Oh, and one more thing. Ari Shaffir on Howie Mandel.
Oh, God, that was great.
That was beautiful what he had to say. And I think we all need to live that way if we can. It's hard to. I get it. But Howie's talking about all the things that, you know, you're seeing a lot of this. I'm not going to say it, but you're seeing a lot of this happening right now. And Ari Shaffir's like, I'm not. I don't, you know, close the laptop. That should be the motto of every close the laptop. Don't look at social media. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a
smart guy.
Created reality.
Yeah, and a reality that you want. Mm-hmm. And to even go further into that, you can watch Colin Quinn's stand-up special on YouTube, which is just brilliant. The way he deconstructs social media and how people live their lives these days. All right, everybody, let's do some plugs. Every Monday, I release a show that's audio only. Maybe I'll start doing video. I don't know. I don't like looking at myself. Trambles is the name of that show, and you can find it in the Radio Labyrinth podcast feed, wherever you find podcasts and listen to those podcasts. William Devane makes a guest appearance. Talking about these 70s movies, because I read Cinema Speculation, Quentin Tarantino's books. I watch all these gritty films, and I ain't no stunt cock. And also in that episode, separated from any of that nasty stuff, is a short interview that I did with Gilbert the day after his 30th birthday, his third birthday. I'm not going to see his
30th birthday. Third.
That's an interview I want to hear.
Yeah.
Push my butt.
Why not? The Popcast, which is a radio show I do every Saturday on WSB Radio, which becomes a podcast. I guess tonight when it comes out at 7 p.m. on the app or wherever, or just wait for the podcast, is Dweezil Zappa.
Yeah.
Who's Frank Zappa's son. And Dweezil is coming to Atlanta on September 7th. He's playing the Eastern. He will be doing a performance, including songs from Apostrophe and also Roxy and Elsewhere. And if you're looking for a gift for your dad or your grandpa or any, you know, father figure or whatever, don't call George Michael. Call me or go to Cameo and I'll do a fun cameo for you. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, you can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And why would you not want to? You get access to our Patreon-only show. And this week, we have a lot of fun talking about it's not really from the 1970s. What is it, Steph? You tell everybody.
I mean, it's just like a pretend PSA film. It's only 3.5 minutes long, but it's about what to do with your telekinetic child.
Yes, it's called So You're Raising a Telekinetic Child, and it's done by a film producer who we give credit to.
John Spurney.
John Spurney. Thank you very much, Jeff. So go to patreon.com, and you can watch our weekly Patreon-only show. And you can get that at any level, whether you're at a dollar or whatever. If you're watching us on YouTube and you're new, thank you for subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do if you made it this far. And click like and all that and turn on your notifications and all those things. Comment down below and we'll read it on the show. If you'd like to hear in a particular voice, put that in the comments and I'll read it that way. We're almost to our first goal on YouTube. So it's because of Dustin's hard work. And we appreciate it. So if you sign up at the executive producer level, which is $25, you will get a free shirt from our shirt store or T-shirt from our merch store. And I'll do a drawing for you, pencil, iPad, whatever, pop culture related. You'll get some stickers and whatnot. But you'll also become a producer of the show, which means you get a credit at the end. And we will thank you. So thank you to Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Mike D, who is our Patreon show is named after him. It is the Mike D Show, and Matt Carter. So thank you very much. And anything I left out that you'd like to say?
No, my dog's got a crap, so I got to go.
And that, my friends.
Can you get him a bowl of cereal?
He's going to go eat a cereal bomb.
Do a cereal bomb. Hey, we'll talk to you next week. Until that time, please remember Steph's dog has to shit, so keep it canon.
Well, please say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?